In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weakness. Make level paths for your feet, so the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we bow before you this morning and we confess that these words from your scriptures are your objective, inerrant, inspired word to us this morning. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks to us through them and works in our hearts. And we pray that you would strengthen each one of us and help us to see Jesus and to love him and to live for him. In his name we pray. Amen. Are you ready for 1996? It's coming tomorrow morning. Four years from now, you'll be looking at the 22nd century. I remember when I was a kid thinking of reading 1984 by Orwell, thinking, man, that's years away. 1984, that's going to be years away. Here it's almost the year 2000. And things are whipping by really fast. There's a lot of changes coming. And the topic for this morning is when God brings change, difficult change. There are all kinds of changes, good ones. I know some folks are planning to get married in 1996. There are wonderful changes that you might have coming to you this year, but there are also difficult changes, and all of these changes are brought into our lives by God, and some of them are very big. When my mother was born in 1920, there were 2 billion people in the world. Now she's going on 80. There are 6 billion people in the world. And one lifetime is tripled. When I'm going on 80, there will be 9 billion people in the world, probably. Do you understand the kind of change that's going to bring into your life? The population explosion? Now, God is bringing these people into the world for his wonderful purposes. But it means change. Big time change. Not just traffic patterns in the D.C. area, but big time change ahead. Maybe some very difficult changes. And of course, we can think about all the fast changes in the computer world, in the economic world, in the crime world, in the politics of our time. But I would like us to look at God's people, how they faced change, and what God said to them as they faced a major paradigm change. By the way, do you know what a paradigm change is? I'm still learning. But I heard one illustration that was kind of interesting. I hope I get it right. It probably won't. But it's about a Swiss watchmaker who went to a convention and saw this newfangled electronic digital watch on display. And he said, "That's not a watch." Then the Japanese watchmaker came by and he saw that. He said, "Now that's a watch." And the watch industry moved from Switzerland to Japan. That's a paradigm change. You see, some people can handle them and some people can't. Now, the people of God were in the desert. They had been there 40 years. They were about to go into the promised land. And the first point I would like to say is this, for those of you who take notes, that when God brings major change into your life, it's because He's calling you to greater responsibility. Could be any kind of a change. A disastrous health change, a financial change, a family change, a career change. But when God brings major change into your life, which might happen this year, it's because He's calling you to greater responsibility. Now look at the change the children of Israel have to go through. They're going to go into the Promised Land. A few weeks before they go in, Moses gets up to preach. Now Moses can't go in. He's been sinful and God won't let him go in. So he's giving his last mammoth sermon to end all sermons, the book of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. And he preaches everything all over again, reviews everything to them. And in this sermon, he reviews many things as they face this change. They're going to go from the desert into the Promised Land. They're going to go from a total care situation where God fed them and clothed them and took care of them perfectly into a land where they're going to have to work and farm and build. From miraculous manna every morning to seed time harvest and the daily battle for bread. From shoes that never wore out in the desert to the reality of wear and tear and hard work. They're going to go from a pillar of light by night to warm and guide the way to having to prayerfully discern God's will by thinking carefully and biblically. From a cloud by day to cool them and shower them and keep them in the shade and to lead them along the way. Now to maintaining a home and putting down roots. These are all difficult changes for these folks. They've been on welfare for 40 years in the desert. From always being on the move to facing the here and now of building a nation. From the military migrant economy that they were, always benefiting from the plunder of their enemies and so forth, to the productivity of an agricultural society. From a protected, sheltered life in the desert where God just took care of everything for them, to becoming God's instrument of judgment. Because when they go into the Promised Land, they're going to be commanded to completely destroy their enemies. They're not going to be able to take slaves and animals and plunder. They're going to have to completely judge and destroy this land. God's judgment coming on the Canaanites. They're going to go from Moses, whom they've always known, to Joshua. From 40 years of waiting to now the reality. From preparation to the dangers of the real thing. And of course, this Old Testament picture of the people of God going through a major change is a prefiguration, a type, if you will, of the church. The church coming into its fullness, clinging to the means of grace under God's promise and protection in the Promised Land. When God brings major change into your life, He's calling you to greater responsibility, to seeing God at work in your life, and to getting to know who you are in Christ. A greater awareness of the war around us and in us, and all the opposition that we face. A greater awareness of the ideas and the emotional forces at work. A greater awareness of the devil's tactics. At the beginning of the Gulf War, when the air war started, the United States and its allies sent in hundreds of drones. And on the Iraqi radar screens, they looked like F-16s and F-14s and bombers. And so the Iraqis, not knowing that these were drones, expended all their best electronic warfare defense, revealed all their positions, wasted a lot of missiles, and made themselves far more vulnerable to when the real thing would come. And as you go into 1996, God is calling you to be aware, as changes come into your life, that He's calling you to greater responsibility and to awareness of the battle that you're fighting for Him. You're going in to fight a war in 1996. Greater awareness of God's calling to you. Increased responsibility in God's plan for building the kingdom. To glorify God in our attitudes, our obedience, our various ministries in 1996. Change means greater responsibility. But also, my second point for you who take notes is that not only does difficult change mean greater responsibility, but God will provide the greater maturity that's needed. You see, it also requires greater maturity. This is a call to holy living. Change is difficult. This past year, I had a series of changes in my life. Maybe that's why I'm preaching on this now. From being a missionary in France to facing the mission field back in America. And this is a time where God is going to be maturing you through trials and tribulations. This is a call to holy living. And that's why when Moses preaches to these people, he warns them about their lifestyle. He warns them about who they listen to and who they obey and where the truth is and how they should live. And we are called to an active path of following God in obedience. This is a time for no compromise, no double living, no idols. And we all have idols. The first one is yourself. Change is often difficult. You know, if you think that it's God's job to make you happy, this is the way God seems to be advertised. You know, come to God, He'll make you happy. Do you come to church on Sunday morning because you think, well, maybe God will make me happy. Maybe He'll arrange my circumstances. Maybe He'll cheer me up. Maybe He'll solve my problems. God's job is to make me happy. Sartre said, God's job is to forgive. That's what His job is. So therefore, don't worry. That's not the way the Bible presents God. The Bible presents God, as we see in Scripture, as a refiner, as a judge, as somebody who is testing us and refining us for His glory. Malachi 3 says that He is the refiner's fire, melting us down and dealing with us and purifying us. And difficult change often is the chastening and the refining and the disciplining of God that we might grow and be more mature. But we want to be happy and we run from pain. And we think that if it's painful, it's not worth it. So we run from it. We abort it. If it's a relationship of pain, we get rid of it. Anything to avoid pain. But we need to see Jesus as the great prophet who's coming and as the one who is the refiner, maturing us in a process that is painful. And the difficult changes that will come into your life have to be seen as God dealing with you. I like what Tim Keller says about this. He says, without Jesus as your refiner, the world becomes a haunted house. The world is full of freak terror. The world is full of horror. From one unexplainable misery to another, unless Jesus is your refiner. And so, we live in a day when people want to deny this, you see. They want to deny that there's a problem. They want to deny that the world is sad. Don't be like that. If this year God brings pain into your life through change, take it from the Lord. Live that pain and grow. Don't be romantic about it. Don't go into despair. Don't go into cynicism. Receive what God brings into your life. Be mature. This is a call to maturity. A mature person is somebody who can learn through the changes of life. There's the Stoic, you see. Now, the Stoic says, be tough. Grin and bear it. Have a stiff upper lip. It's not really happening. Do you ever do that? It's not really happening. My marriage is going sour. It's not really happening. That's not the Christian answer. Of course, the other extreme is to become an immature baby and just be a basket case, unable to face anything. The Christian softens his heart
towards God and says, yes, Lord, you're my Father. You've brought difficult change into my life. I receive it from you. What are you teaching me, Lord? This is the whole idea of chastening, holistic training. The world is the Father's house, and the furniture that you bump into was put there by the Holy Spirit. John Newton said, everything is necessary that He sends. Nothing is necessary that He withholds. If it's in your life, you need it. If it's in your life, you need it. I don't know what you're facing in 96. Maybe you're going to get very sick. Maybe you're going to face a tragedy. It happens every year. Maybe you'll have a wonderful year. But if God brings difficult change into your life, it's because you need it. Listen to Him. He's leading you on into maturity so that you can take greater responsibility for His glory. You see, without difficult change, you'll never know who you are. I like the illustration of the physical shape test. You go to the doctor, they test your heart and go running on the treadmill and all that to find out who you are. How are you doing? What is your condition? Who are you really? And so the test this year might be conflicts with your boss, in your marriage, with illness. But all of these are a confrontation with yourself and your relationship to God. So pride, impatience, selfishness, lack of faith, desire to control everything, these are seen in times of trouble, but they are opportunities for repentance and faith and growth. You see, nobody ever learned that he is a sinner just by being told, hey, you're a sinner. He didn't learn it that way. He had to learn it the painful way. And that's why God is bringing painful change into your life to help you learn who you are. No trials, no training, no character growth. Use your difficult changes this year, folks. Don't just hope they go away. Don't be a stoic about it. Don't be romantic about it. God is maturing you so that you can take on greater responsibility, whatever it is. Maybe becoming a junior high school student this year. Maybe going off to college. Maybe a job for the first time. Whatever it might be, certainly, hopefully, a ministry of service to the Lord. The third point that follows on this is that God brings difficult change to lead us into greater responsibility, and He will give us the maturity necessary for that as we cling to Christ under God's authority, as we submit ourselves to God's absolute authority in Christ. You see, a mature Christian trusts. He trusts in a loving God behind it all, and he does not harden in resentment. He does not harden in resentment. How do you trust? Well, you must humble yourself. You must confess your sin and your trust to the Lord. You need to decide in your heart that I'm going to follow this God and trust Him. Even though you can't see all that's going on. There's the illustration in Scripture of Job. You know, Satan came to Job. Satan came to God in order to use God. And he said, you know that guy Job? He's a good Christian because everything's going great. Send him a trial and he'll deny you. He doesn't really trust you. And so God said, okay, let's find out. And it was a great test, a great change that Job had to go through. Job, in prosperity, trusted God. And he also learned about himself that in calamity, he could also trust God. Satan came to use God, but God used Satan.
And we need to trust this God who is bigger than we are, who is doing things in our lives that we cannot see, and who is altogether trustworthy. When you're in prosperity, you can't tell who you're serving very well. I don't think you can. When everything is going really beautifully, it's hard to know, really, who am I serving? But when you're tested and humbled, then you see that you don't really trust God. And you go through a crisis of growth. And you need to cling to the authority. You see, the children of Israel are going to be tempted as they go across Jordan, as they face Jericho and Ai and all their own sins and all the problems. They're going to be tempted to go to those pagan gods, which they do fall into. They're going to be tempted to go into all those pagan practices. They're going to be tempted to try to take care of themselves and not trust God. And that will cause great pain for them. This pain of change, difficult change, is God's mercy. This pain is God's mercy, even though we run from it. God gives constructive pain now to avoid destructive pain later. I took some kids skiing in the Pyrenees Mountains, 30 kids down there, French kids, really wild. And we were up at a chalet and we went skiing, and I went way too high up in the mountains and I was way out of shape, and I came down and the muscles in my legs were in no condition to take the pounding, and I fell and I ripped my knee and all the ligaments, and I was in terrible pain. And I was very proud. I didn't want to admit it. I was being a stoic, see? It's not really there. I walked down the mountain. I don't know how far it was. And I drove back to Paris with a broken knee, or a terribly painful knee. And I sat around my home for a week in Paris and finally said, I better go to the doctor. And when I went to the doctor, I came out with a cast from my belt down to my ankle. And they said, don't you move that leg for a month. And then when the cast finally came off, I had to move the leg, but it was painful. It was sore. It was out of shape. And the therapeutic process was, you've got to move that leg. You've got to do exercises that will hurt. The healing is in the hurt. You see, it's a merciful pain. The healing and the growth is in the hurt. Go to that hurt. Go to it. Let it do its work in you. Painful change is a gift of God. And this becomes a great source of even internal joy. Jesus learned obedience through his suffering, even he did. And in it all, we can find our all in all in Christ by trusting in God. This is a call, you see, to trust in God's authority in Christ. This is not passive, but it is active. This is a new direction for you if you haven't taken this before. Going for God and following His path of realistic living. Be willing to share the pain and the humiliation that He calls you to, maybe, in difficult chains. So be strengthened by the small disciplines of obedience. By doing the next thing that He sets before you to do. By clinging to the means of grace, His Word. May 1996 be a year when you read the Bible. This is the year, if you haven't done it. Read the Bible. Pray. Take time to drink in the presence of God in prayer and in fellowship with His people and in the church. This is the way you're going to grow. One ounce of sin can haunt you more than the tons of suffering that might follow. Don't go into evil this year. Teenagers, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tempted. Difficult change of trial and tribulation is coming. It's part of God's testing. Do what's right in Christ. He is with you. He will help you. Fix your eyes on Jesus, as it says, the author and perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes on His wisdom, which is infinite, and His power, which is unlimited, and His love,
which means that He really will take care of you. Look at the cross where He died, bearing our sin, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He was cut off from God so that we can come close to God. Didn't Jesus set the example on how to face change? Imagine going from heaven down to our misery, bearing our sin, being born out back by the dumpsters behind the hotel where no one cares, being in poverty and in the worst kind of ghetto-type situations all his life, and then bearing our wicked sin in Him, on Himself, and being alienated from His Father and suffering a death on the cross. He went through all these changes, realizing that this greater responsibility would be met with the maturity and the strength that God would give so that we could be close to God. 1996 represents a call to greater responsibility through a greater maturity. It's possible because of what Christ did for you. Let us go together into this year in Christ. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, as we look to the future, we're tempted to tremble. We're so vulnerable. Our society seems to hang by a thread. We pray that we might be able to trust You this year more than ever, that we might walk closely with You. And we thank You that You are dealing with us, that You are sovereign over all our circumstances, and that everything You bring into our lives has a wonderful purpose. Teach us to cling to You. Equip us for the challenges, the new responsibilities, the new maturity. Lord, may it all help us know You better and love You more. In Jesus' name, amen.